Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
I mentioned this last week that our daughter Emily, she's learning how to drive right now, and she really is doing a great job improving every time that we go out driving. But one thing that I noticed that first night that I took her out driving is just how unnatural driving can be for someone who has never done it before. So the first time, her first time behind the wheel, it wasn't on the roads. It was actually in the parking lot right behind the Fellowship Hall, because I wanted to live, and also because I wanted to give her the freedom to learn some of the basics, and for her to get a feel for the brake pedal and for the gas pedal and the motion of turning the steering wheel. And so we simply drove around the back parking lot over and over again, and I would say things like, give it a little extra gas. All right, press down on the brake slowly. Don't mash it down abruptly. As you're turning that wheel, put one hand over the other so it becomes a smooth motion as you turn. And while all of these things were very unnatural to begin with, after doing these things over and over again, after all of that repetition, the unnatural began to become natural. So we're in the middle of this series right now titled Habits Worth Holding On To, and this is to tie into our vision for this year that I shared earlier. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to, recognizing that there are some things in our life that we should hold on to. There are some things in our life that, let's be honest, we should let go of those things. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. And I'm asking us to apply this to our habits that we have in our life as well. Let's hold on to the habits worth holding on to. Now, here's the reality. There are some habits that are good habits that are worth holding on to. But as we look at our life, we might say, these just aren't my habits right now. In fact, maybe we would say some of these habits that are worth holding on to, maybe they are a little unnatural for us right now. So what do? Well, we begin. We start somewhere and we begin to put these habits to work in our life. And we do them over and over again. And I believe that what we will discover is that as we put these habits to practice in our life, and as we make it a routine in our life, what we'll see is that some of these unnatural things will begin to become natural for us. And then once they become natural habits in our life, we hold on to them because they are habits worth holding on to. Now, we've started out this series by looking at our mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And if you're newer with us, we have a simple mission at our church: to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about holding on to the habit of love. Last week, we talked about holding on to the habit of growing in God's Word. This morning, we're going to talk about holding on to the habit of serving the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10 this morning. Luke 17, 7 through 10. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. And as I set this up for you, I'm going to give you a couple of bonus habits as well. These are two things that we see in our passage that are good things for us to hold on to, in addition to our main focus this morning, which is holding on to the habit of serving the Lord. So in verse 5, just two verses prior to where we're going to start reading, we see that the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, why is there this sudden desire for an increase in faith? Is it because that Jesus has asked them to perform mighty miracles in his name? Is it because He's asked them to stand firm in their faith, even in the midst of great persecution. Why this sudden desire for more faith? The answer to this question really lies in the previous verses. So at the start of chapter 17, we see that Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And as he's teaching them, he begins to teach them about forgiveness. And he says, if your brother sins against you, now when he says brother, he's talking about a fellow believer. If your brother or your fellow believer sins against you and he repents, you need to forgive him. And so the disciples ask, well, what if they sin against me and they ask for repentance, I forgive them, but then they do it again and they ask for repentance again and they ask for repentance again. What if they do it seven times, they sin against me seven times and they repent seven times? And Jesus says, guess what? You need to forgive them seven times. And so in response to this call for forgiveness, they say, Jesus, we're going to need more faith. If I'm going to have to forgive my brother this many times, I'm not going to be able to do this in my own strength. Lord, increase our faith. So let me give you our two bonus habits this morning. We need to hold on to the habits of both faith and forgiveness. Now, even though we need to hold on to this habit of forgiveness, that doesn't mean that forgiveness is always easy. Clearly, the disciples are asking for more faith in order to practice this forgiveness. Sometimes I think, as we think about offering forgiveness, sometimes I think forgiveness is a bit unnatural for us. In fact, What seems to be more natural for us many times is when someone sins against us, right, we experience bitterness and resentment. And many times this resentment and bitterness can grow deep roots within our hearts. And so when the disciples ask for this increase of faith in verse 5, Jesus responds in verse 6 by saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, this tiny seed, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So the mulberry tree at that time was thought to be deeply rooted, and because of its deep roots, it was believed that it would stand and it would stay rooted for 600 years. And yet, what Jesus is saying, with this small amount of faith, with just a tiny amount of faith, they could speak to this mulberry tree, this tree that has deep roots that's going to stand there for 600 years. They could say to this tree, be moved, and it would be tossed into the sea. And so in the same way, Jesus is saying, listen, you don't need a great amount of faith to practice forgiveness. Because even a small amount of faith in our giant God is enough to uproot this resentment and bitterness in your hearts that you might practice forgiveness for your repentant brother. I want you to understand, it's not the size of our faith that matters, it's the size of our God. When it comes to practicing forgiveness, and when it comes to having faith to practice this forgiveness, it's not the size of our faith that matters, it's the size of our God. And this is a good reminder for us, because when it comes to practicing forgiveness, sometimes the offenses against us seem massive. And the wounds that we experience because of these massive offenses, these wounds are deep wounds within our hearts. And so the damage that is caused in our relationships with others, at times it seems insurmountable. Like there's absolutely nothing that can be done to repair this hurt that has been done to us. But I want you to know, we serve a God that is bigger than that deep wound in your heart. We serve a God that is bigger than this massive offense that your brother or your sister, a fellow believer, has done against you. He's the God that's big enough to part the Red Sea that the Israelites might cross on dry ground. He's the God that's big enough to spare the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the fiery furnace. He's the God that's big enough to protect Daniel in the midst of the lion's den. But most importantly, he's the God that's big enough to offer redemption and forgiveness through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And he's the God that's big enough to bring Jesus up out of the grave, conquering death. He's the creator of all things. He's the ruler of all things. So certainly, he is big enough to overcome this offense in your life and restore a relationship that is broken. It's not the size of our faith that matters. It's the size of our God. And truly, if we're going to hold on to this habit of forgiveness, then we must also hold on to this habit of faith. Not focusing on the size of our faith, but focusing on the size of our God, who we have placed our faith in. But not only do we need faith to practice forgiveness, we also need faith in order to practice this habit of serving the Lord as well, which is what we're going to see in our passage right now. So with that in mind, let's read our passage, Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. It says, "Which one of you, having a servant tending sheep or plowing, will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? Instead, will he not tell him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, get ready and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you can eat and drink.' Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? In the same way, when you have done all that you were commanded, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty.'" So as this passage begins, we see this transition from Jesus talking about faith to talking about serving the master. And maybe this seems like somewhat of an odd transition, but I think if we really pause and think about this, it may not be that odd of a transition after all, because if we think about it, our faith in the Lord should lead us to serve the Lord. Hear that again. Our faith in the Lord should lead us to serve the Lord. Now, I realize that Jesus was just talking about forgiving others, but when I think about the forgiveness offered to me at times, man, it gives me pause. Think about the forgiveness that you have received at times. I know personally, as a husband, I have messed up plenty of times throughout the course of our marriage. Which, by the way, we get to celebrate 20 years of marriage this summer. Yeah. It's been hard, though, for Sarah. I've messed up over the course of 20 years. You can imagine I've messed up plenty of times. Sometimes I have messed up big. And yet, in Sarah's love and in her grace and in her faithfulness, she has offered me unconditional forgiveness. And this is just what I've seen in my own heart, in my own life at times. As I have received this unconditional forgiveness from Sarah, it gives me a greater desire to be a better husband. It gives me a greater desire to serve Sarah. And this is just forgiveness that's experienced from one human to another. And so as we think about our Lord, for the believer, he has given us eternal forgiveness. He has given us eternal salvation by grace through faith. It's by grace through faith that we receive this forgiveness and we walk in this forgiveness every single day. And this forgiveness that we receive from God is far greater, far more unfathomable than a forgiveness that is given between one spouse to another. And so once again, for me, as I think about the forgiveness that has been given to me by grace through faith, through Jesus Christ, it makes me want to serve the Lord even more. Our faith in the Lord should lead us to serve the Lord. And just like forgiveness may be hard at times, serving the Lord is not always easy work either. In fact, Jesus compares serving him to a servant tending sheep or plowing a field. Now, I'll be honest, I've never once plowed a field in my life. Now, I recognize being here in Stockdale, I am among people that maybe have plowed a field or two in their life, right? Now, while I have not plowed a field, I have mowed a lawn or two, which I know is not the exact same thing. But I've mowed a lawn in the hot sun, and that sun is beating down as I'm pushing that lawnmower back and forth on that yard until the job is complete. And I'll be honest, it's not my favorite thing to do, which is why I pay someone else to do it for me now. And I have for several years. Listen, serving the Lord is not always easy work. It's difficult work. And I think sometimes the temptation for us is to just hire the job out. We're going to pay someone else to serve the Lord. But I want you to understand, this call to serve the Lord is for every believer. The call to serve the Lord is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the youth pastor. It's not just for an elite group of people to serve the Lord. This call to serve the Lord is for every believer. And if you're a member of First Baptist Church Stockdale, then understand there is a call for you to serve the Lord within this church body. And I say that for a couple of reasons. First, because God's Word calls us to serve the Lord within our local church body. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is reminding us that we are a body made up of many different parts. We are called to be these different parts to serve the Lord as we come together. We're not all feet, we're not all hands. We have different gifts and different talents, but we come together and we use our gifts and our talents as we serve the Lord together as one body. But second, I say this because we as a church have identified serving as part of our mission. This is why we're talking about holding on to the habit of service, because serving is a part of our mission. It's a part of who we are. We are a church that serves. And there are plenty of ways to get involved serving here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And so just like last week, I had sign-up sheets out back, just outside, for you to sign up to be a part of a growth group. Listen, if you didn't sign up to be a part of the growth group, you can still come on Sunday mornings, 9:45 a.m., join a growth group, grow with us. But this morning, on the table out there, I've got sign-up sheets for you to sign up to serve in some way if you're not already serving. We've got plenty of places for you to sign up to get involved, whether it's youth ministry, children's ministry, food pantry, worship ministry, safety team, prayer team. There's plenty of places to get involved serving. Find a place, sign up. If there's nothing on the table for you, I've got one that just says other. Write your name, tell me what you're gifted in. Let's find out how we can use that gift and talent for the Lord here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. So already we understand that even though it's not always easy work, we should be in the habit of serving the Lord. But let me give you two more reasons to walk away with today from our passage as to why we should be in the habit of serving the Lord. First, we should be in the habit of serving the Lord because there's much work to be done. Let's look at verses 7 and 8 again. It says, "Which one of you, having a servant tending sheep or plowing, will come say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. Instead, will he not tell him, prepare something for me to eat, get ready and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you can eat and drink." Now, as we read this, our first reaction may be to say, man, that sounds harsh. They've been out serving all day long. They've got to come in and continue serving. But understand it, in Jesus telling this parable, he's not implying that this demand from God is a harsh demand to serve him. Rather simply, he's telling them that serving the Lord is ongoing. In other words, our service to the Lord is not complete simply because we've served in this capacity or this capacity. And so we say, all right, my job is done. I'm going to sit back, relax, put my feet up, and I'm just going to watch others serve for a change. No, serving the Lord is ongoing. Why? Because the work of the gospel is a work that must continue until the Lord returns. And so for us as believers, we serve the Lord until he returns or until he calls us home. And let me give you a small caveat to that, until we are physically unable to do so. But even then, when we are physically unable to serve the Lord physically, we still submit to the Lord with a servant's heart, and we still serve him in any way that we can, even if it's not physical. But I don't want you to miss what Jesus said there at the end of verse 8. He said, later you can eat and drink. You see, when the work is finally over, the servant is able to rest. And so while our work in this world continues, while our service to the Lord continues until the Lord's return, when we finally enter into his presence in eternity, we will get to hear those words that we long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we will know that the work is complete, and we will get to rest in the presence of our Master for all eternity. But until that day comes, the work is not over. Serving the Lord is ongoing. You know, many times we have heroes in the faith throughout Scripture. And that's true for me as well. But I want you to know some of my heroes in the faith are right here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. You know, I was here as a child 30-plus years ago when my dad was the pastor of this church. And there were certain men and women that I saw serving the Lord faithfully 30-plus years ago. And when I returned 30-plus years later, I saw those same faces, those same men and women serving the Lord faithfully. And I think to myself, I want to be like them when I grow up. I want to be exactly like them. So how do we become like them? If there are those who have been serving faithfully for decades, how do we become like them? We begin today. I want you to know, the habits of tomorrow are developed today. If there's a habit that we want tomorrow or years from now, it begins to be developed today. The habits of tomorrow are developed today. And if we're going to be in the habit of service 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years from now, then we begin developing that habit of service today. And let me just tell you, there is a need for more who are willing to work, more who are willing to serve the Lord, because there is much work to be done. So we should be in the habit of serving the Lord because there's much work to be done. Second and finally, we should be in the habit of serving the Lord because the Lord is worthy. So look at verse 10 again. It says, in the same way, when you have done all that you were commanded, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. So Jesus is addressing somewhat of a misconception that we serve the Lord because we are worthy to serve the Lord, or on the flip side of that, that if we feel unworthy to serve the Lord, we don't serve the Lord. But I want you to understand this morning, God doesn't call us to serve because we are worthy. He calls us to serve because he is worthy. God's call to Moses to go to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh wasn't because Moses was worthy. In fact, Moses offered excuses to God as to why he shouldn't go. It wasn't because Moses was worthy, it's because God is worthy. God's call to Jonah to go to Nineveh wasn't because Jonah was worthy. In fact, Jonah proved just how unworthy he was in his rebellion, in his disobedience as he fled to Tarshish. It wasn't because Jonah was worthy, it's because God is worthy. God doesn't call us to serve because we are worthy. He calls us to serve because he is worthy. And when we get that, when we realize it's not about us being worthy, but it's all about serving because God is worthy to be served, it gives us a desire to serve God even more. Man, I look at my life and I say, man, I am not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy to serve you. But Lord, you are worthy to be served. And so I want to serve you in any way you will let me. It's not about me being worthy. It's all about God being worthy. So I'm not going to mention names, but recently I had a church member come to me and say, I feel like I'm receiving so much from this church. I feel like like God is using this church to bless me in so many ways. I just want to find a way to serve. I just want to find out how I can give back. And I love that heart because here's the reality. That is the heart that is produced within us when we realize how much God has given to us. Understand, when we serve the Lord, we are not serving someone who has done nothing for us and given nothing to us. When we serve the Lord, we are serving someone who has done everything for us and given everything to us through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on the cross. Jesus freely went to the cross. He didn't have to. He did that willingly, that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. God has done everything for us. God has given everything to us. And so in response to that, our desire should be, man, I want to figure out how I can give back to you, Lord. I want to figure out how I can serve you, not because we're worthy, Lord, but because you are worthy. We should be in the habit of serving the Lord because there's much work to be done and because He is worthy. Now, if you look at your life and you say, you know what, serving the Lord, it's just not a habit in my life right now. If you recognize that, then let me encourage you, begin serving the Lord today. If it's unnatural for you to serve the Lord, begin today, do it again tomorrow and the next day, and let this unnatural act of serving become a natural habit in your life, and then hold on to that. Because serving the Lord is a habit worth holding on to. Now, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord over your life, then understand the first step for you today is not to begin serving the Lord. The first step for you is to surrender to the Lord, to turn from your sins, to confess Him as the Lord of your life, that you might be forgiven, that you might be redeemed. If you've never done that, but you recognize your need to do that today, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song this morning, this is going to be your opportunity to respond today. If you're ready to place your faith in Jesus Christ and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then as we sing this song, I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be down front standing right here. You're welcome to step out of your seat as we sing. Come and join me. Let's pray together. Let's talk. Today can be the day of your salvation. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess Jesus as Lord through baptism like Ethan did this morning. If you need to make that decision to publicly profess your faith in Christ through baptism, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. You can respond as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to come alongside this church body, to join this church on mission as we serve the Lord together. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments as we sing, I would invite you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.